It's called BOE Session Back to Order Following Recess. This is July 7th, 2014. Our first BOE number is 2014-104, Golden Touch. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Doing very well.
How did we get them that close? It's dangerous.
It is, isn't it?
No.
I know just about everybody, but for those of you that I haven't met, I'm Russ Schenowork. I'm the attorney for the next six hotels here, and I have Mr. Jeske, the appraiser, with me as my expert this afternoon. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the board for scheduling all these at the same time. It's a tremendous cost savings to my client, efficiency-wise, and I just wanted to express my gratitude for letting us be heard all at the same time on these. All of these properties are hotels. That's generally all the only time that this board sees me is on hotel appeals. I'm going to try to go in the same order that I saw out on the board there, if that's right. I don't know if there's a specific order, but if you please, we'll just take them one at a time. And what I wanted to do, just for the record, and so we're not repetitive or anything, is maybe to have Mr. Jeske talk a little bit about his experience and credentials. And I know that a lot of you know him before, maybe even seen him before. But just for the record, to kind of tell a little bit about his appraisal designation and experience.
My name is Jerry Jeske. I'm a state-certified general real estate appraiser. I've been appraising since 1995, doing residential, commercial, and vacant land, virtually all types, specializing in Stone and Taney counties.
And what's your educational experience?
I have a bachelor's degree in engineering. I've taken various real estate appraisal classes throughout the years.
And how long have you had your general?
Since 2001.
Okay. And I take it you've done many, many hotels.
Yes.
Okay. It's all right with everyone. We'll start out with the first one that I see in order, Appeal 2014-104. Does everybody have that one, the Amaze Inn and Suites? If everybody's on the same page with me here, the property owner is called Golden Touch, LLC, parcel number 7735128. And it is a hotel property located at 3311 Shepherd of the Hills, built in 1990 on 3.24 acres. The appraised value from the assessor's office at this time is $3,305,506, and Mr. Jeske's report came up with a value of $1,670,000. And from there, I'll pass it to Mr. Jeske to tell you a little bit about the property.
Okay. The format of these reports is the same as the two that I presented last week. The property is a 152 guest room.
Can you hold just a second, Jerry? Do we have a copy of that appraisal down there that Donna? Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry, Jerry.
It's okay. The improvements are located on a 3.25 acre tract of land. It has four buildings, three of which are attached by breezeways, divided into guest rooms, lobby and breakfast room, coin-operated laundry, swimming pool. There are no meeting rooms on site other than the breakfast room that could double as a meeting room. It's basically a limited service, economy grade motel.
You say 177?
152.
152 units?
Yes.
And Jerry, could you talk a little bit about basically starting out with how the assessor valued it and how that differs from how you valued the property?
Sure. The property, the assessor valued the property based on the cost approach. His measurements, land value, and overall value are on page 5. He uses a straight cost approach. There's no sales comparison approach and no income approach. We used, as we did last week, just the cost approach and the sales comparison approach, since disclosing the income and expenses puts the property owner at a disadvantage.
Could you talk a little bit about why the cost approach is not the best indication of value and what the inherent flaws are and how hard it is to gauge depreciation?
Sure. The cost approach is completed by valuing the individual components of the property. We first value the land and then value the cost of the improvements as if new, deduct depreciation. Three forms of depreciation: physical, functional, and external or economic in this case. The most difficult part of this approach is estimating the depreciation, specifically the incurable physical depreciation, which is the part of the property that wears out over time, and the economic obsolescence, which is caused by the number of rooms in the market that since there's an oversupply, limits the revenue of properties, causing them to be economically obsolete.
Can you also talk a little bit about how your estimate of depreciation is derived from the market, as opposed to just pulling a number out of the air and say this is 30% depreciated?
Physical depreciation is estimated using the straight line method, which is to divide the...
I'm sorry to interrupt you again. Is there any board member that's sitting here that has any reason that we shouldn't accept the appraisal that's in front of us today rather than moving forward? If so, this chair would... And that amount was set at what?
Mr. Hausman, it was $1,670,000.
Sorry,
$1,690,000.
$1,690,000? I apologize, I got a typo here. $1,690,000.
Says 70 on there.
Sorry.
That's where I had gotten it from.
I revised that.
It went up. He revised it up.
It says 690 on mine.
Okay.
That's the cost approach.
And the other is?
Same. Yeah, that, if you go to the end of the report, go to the last page. Go to page 31. Back to the page. Now scroll down slightly. There you go.
That's the 1690. Do I hear a motion to establish it that the higher of the two at $1,690,000?
Well, I want to give me a picture of that motel. You called it an economy, what'd you say?
A limited service economy grade.
Limited service economy grade. So that is that possibly what we looked at in the last, I'm asking the board, is that's what we looked at in the several of the motels that's been presented to us would be economy grade.
Probably 95 or 99% of the properties in Branson are that same quality and grade.
That same quality and grade.
A full-service property would have a bar and a restaurant, meeting space or convention space.
Convention.
Yeah. And then typically the economy grades tend to have exterior corridors. The little bit better grades tend to have interior corridors.
So this has no interior corridor at all. It's just all...
It's all exterior corridor.
Exterior, pull up and walk into your room. Or
breezeways or whatever.
Breezeways or whatever. How much is that per room?
$11,000 and change.
I don't have any problem with accepting it at that price. That's what we had from 13 to...
$11,118.
Okay, and that includes the breakfast area, the...
No, that's just price per room.
I know, but I'm talking about the way we figured it. We're not counting the other ourselves as the breakfast area. You mentioned two or three other things.
Swimming pool,
right.
Guest laundry, onsite laundry.
Yeah, we just throw that. The laundry is something that we don't.
It's almost like another room.
Is it?
Yeah.
There are a number of them out there that have those that are set up that way.
Yes.
No.
Most do.
We've already looked at, actually.
Okay. I just trying to cover all the bases here. What year was it built?
1990.
It's almost as old as you are, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to accept the what was it?
1,690.
One was
1,690,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made and second to establish the value of BOE number 2014-104 at 1,690,000. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And moving on, if it pleases the board, to appeal number 2014-105. This is a hotel and restaurant on 11.61 acres at 3524 Keeter Street, the Days Inn, former Days Inn. This is one of two properties that we have before the board today that have sold recently. And I always argue that there's no better indication of market value than a sale. This property sold in June of 13 for $825,000. The assessor's value is currently $3,520,000. And this property's been closed and has some issues, but I'll let Mr. Jeske elaborate on that.
How many units are in this property?
423.
And you say the property's been closed? I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
Go ahead, property was closed on the 1st of January 2013. Yes.
Is this Lemonade Hospitality?
It is.
It ends in 002.000?
Yes, sir. And there's actually
two of them. Number 105?
Yes, sir. There's actually, Brandon, it's 105 and 106. The assessor has them broken down into two parcels. But the sale was one property, and the appraisal is one property.
Is the total acreage then 11, and the both of them set on that 11 acres, or
yes,
is
sir.
It more
it's,
than that?
It's separated by the section line, so it has two different.
Tax commission requires when you break a map, when you have that
right.
section line, you have to break it into two parcels. And so the specifics on that are 9.17 acre on the larger parcel, the settlement parcel, and then 2.45, which... Jerry, I think you said it was the pool and the office.
Right. It's the swimming pool, office, and the restaurant.
But it's all on that 11.61 acre.
Okay,
track.
And you're wanting total value at 1 million something.
$825,000 was the sale price in June of 13. The assessor's value is $3,520,000. And the appraisal values both properties together.
Right.
And the sale was for both pieces, both parcels.
Stress sale or
the property sold at auction. The property had been for sale for several years prior to that. The auction was well attended. I talked to several potential bidders that bid on the property. So it's an arm's length transaction.
All right. I got a question about the number of rooms and the closing of the units. What is their depreciation value, or is there something wrong with the building?
With the property, it's too big. That's a big part of the problem. If you look at if you look at the two large sales, which are both, which are the Days Inn and the Howard Johnson's Inn, they both sold about the same price with no difference in price, but a 50 room difference in the size of the property. So that kind of demonstrates that there's a, if you draw it out on a graph, you get to a level where it just flattens out because of the number of rooms.
I was going to look to see where we're talking there, because the combined unit.
Yeah.
This would be the swimming pool and the office and one of the
That's building one. Right. If you go to my report, there's a survey that has each of the buildings labeled.
These two combined, but this is the 2 point something acres, and this is the 9.
I'm sorry, Russ. What did you say the combined total appraised value was?
Well, 825,000. Wait,
the appraised value was 800.
800. The sale price was 825.
I'm sorry. I mean our current.
The assessor's value, Brandon, is 3 million. Let me get this right. 3,520,000.
See, I'm showing. Unless I'm looking at something wrong, Chuck. 3,520,000 on the one property.
That's on
1,040,000.
It's 4 million.
So it'd be actually, yeah,
4,560,000.
Yeah. Pull up my other sheet.
You're saying both of those combined should go down to the 8.
Correct.
Well, help me out then. Because the two properties you're talking about are 106 and 107.
The appeal numbers?
Yes.
105 and 106. Yeah, 105 and 106.
Okay.
Lemonade Hospitality LLC.
Okay. Well, I was looking down at Limeade. Sorry.
It's confusing. It confused me when I was looking at this.
What I shouldn't.
Different fruit.
You are right.
I've got an extra copy of the appraisal if anyone needs it.
I think we've got it here. We should have it.
What do you got? What do you have to appraise from the land for? Just the land.
About $1 a square foot. About $1 a square foot.
Do you want to go through this at all, sir?
Get that on the computer. Yes.
The total land value is $470,000 on the appraiser.
You said it was closed when? January
1st. I believe it was closed on the date of the appraisal. If it wasn't, it was shortly after.
Yeah.
It was closed when they bought it in June.
And the reason why it was closed was
Bank and Fort closed it, and they're in the business of loaning money.
Bankruptcy or something?
They foreclosed it.
Yeah,
they aren't in the business of operating motels. They're in the business of loaning money, so they just. Posted.
Well, I was just saying if it was deterioration or anything. I mean, it's usable. It is. It does have quite a bit of deferred maintenance. The buildings look pretty good on the outside. It has some functional problems as well.
What about the restaurant and all that? Is it open?
No.
So the whole unit's closed?
Yes.
Chuck, do you have some input regarding this parcel of property? Or parcels, I should say, again?
No, sir.
Nope.
There was a separate appraisal, if it interests the board, prepared for Hawthorne Bank, and I know I don't have the guy here. But it was done before the sale. And so, you know, I would argue that there's no better indication of value than the sale price.
Chuck, you had in previous properties, you had a land value set for the off the strip units, and what was that? You'd mentioned to us there earlier when
we've probably got a lot. We've got this on at $2. We've probably got lots of properties out there at $2. And Rhonda had whispered to me, you know, she questioned that because of that. You know, sure, it's got it on for $1 or what, close to it. But
you want to talk about the land sales, or
I can't.
Well, if you just look at this from a land sale standpoint, if the property were valued at $2 a square foot, how many square feet is it?
Right there, 798,890.
That's one part.
No, I'm sorry, that's the value.
So the total?
399,445.
About 500,000 square feet. At $2 a square foot is $1 million. So arguably the motel should be gone by now because he paid less than the land value. He would have torn it down and tried to sell the land. That's one support of my argument for a lower land value than $2.
Comps range from 52 cents a square foot to $1.44 a square foot. The high end of that was a much smaller tract at 225. It was the Promised Land Petting Zoo site. But then the third comp was only 60,000 square feet, just shy of an acre and a half, and that was $1.17 a square foot. That was
also located off the strip behind the settlement.
The Promised Land comp was April of 12. Mercy Clinic comp number 2 at 52 cents a square foot was July of 13. And then the one Jerry just referenced was July of 10.
Did you mention earlier that you had another appraisal that was done from the bank?
Yeah. This was done. I don't know if I've got all the information. Let's see. This was done back in 12. And I couldn't make hide nor hair out of it. The jury's going to have to look at this because he valued the going concern. In other words, the value of the day's end, the blue sky.
Let me see the picture on the front page. Yeah, it was operating when he did this.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it closed sometime between July of 12 and January of 13.
Yes. I don't know exactly what the date is, but I would guess after the season was over, they probably closed it and didn't reopen it.
What was the market value for that one?
His estimate was $1,755,000 for the land and improvements.
That's for both properties?
Yes.
I'm assuming?
Yes.
Both property
numbers.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can tell.
Give me that number one more time. Million what?
Million.
$755,000.
And then the turnaround is sold right out a year later.
6 months. Oh, yeah.
Right out a year later for $825,000.
And by the time
by the time it sold, the bank had taken some of the FF&E out and moved it over to another property. And so there was, most of the rooms have air conditioners. Most of them don't work. The FF&E was really old. The insides of the rooms are old. The rooms are 22 feet deep versus 26 feet deep, which is the market standard. They're old wood buildings that were built some as early as 87. And I think the last two were built in 93.
We established the low end at 7,500 on our room deal, but we could take a depreciation deal on that. Is that what we looked at, Jeff? I'm just questioning. This is strictly a question because I couldn't remember 13 down to 7.5 or.
That's correct. I think the only issue I have is it did sell for $825,000. The appraisal came in lower than that, but it was a stress sale.
Well, you know, the reason the appraisal came in lower is because the sale included the FF&E. So there has to be some value placed on the FF&E that we're not considering in this hearing. We're just considering the land and the improvements. So.
And I think what you'll find is that a lot of these sales are distressed. And at some point in time, distressed sales become the market.
Right.
And that's kind of, with particularly with hotels, you know, and that, you know, especially when they have the functional problems. And like he was saying, this is four feet short of a normal room
size. 4 feet short of the room. It had a breakfast room that can't service the property. It's just inferior. I mean, it was great when it was built and there was not enough rooms, but swiftly its value went down.
And unfortunately, the one piece of information that the last appraiser didn't have was the sale price.
Correct.
When he valued it. So I think had he had an $800,000 sale price, it might have changed his appraisal, I would submit.
Right. He still used comparable sales, though, correct?
Older ones. You know, and that's the benefit that Jerry has had, is that he's had more recent sales. You want to talk about the sales?
Sure. I mean, you guys have the list of sales. It's the same list of sales that are in all of the appraisals. One of them is the property next door. That would be the Mountain Music Inn that sold for $886,000. It's a much smaller property in better condition with one building that has interior corridors, indoor pool, and it sold for $6,300 a room.
Sold for how much?
$800?
$6,328.57
a unit.
And it doesn't have a restaurant or some of the other buildings?
The restaurant on the days is essentially an empty shell. The building had been vandalized as of the first. There's no heat, no air conditioning. There's a little bit of restaurant equipment in it, but it's basically an empty building with a men's and women's restroom, a kitchen, and a dining room.
Rhonda's got a couple of sales here. I don't know if I will mention those. Assuming you've got them, you may not have, because we got them through sales letters.
Okay.
Go, please.
I've got the Willow Tree Inn that sold for $995,000 in 2014. Do you have that one? Is that on your list? Because we don't have a copy of your appraisal.
No, that is not on my list.
And
the reason it's not is because it also included an RV park.
Well, and we also have the Carolina Mills that sold for $950,000. Out there, which
that's retail, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know, we just had some, you know.
Right.
So
yeah. You could kind of consider it a land sale, but they decided to use the building, so they bought the building, so there's not really anything to use it for in this appraisal.
So on the Willow Tree, you say it's got the RV park?
Yes.
Do you know what month that sold, Chuck, the Willow Tree?
I just have to go look at my list. I want to say May.
Yeah.
May sounds...
And I don't know if this matters to the board, but...
And that's a related party sale. It sold from the father to the son.
Okay. Well...
It's always good to have that information.
Don Maurice?
No.
So it wasn't an arm's length, is what you're saying?
Right.
Well, and also if we're talking about effective date evaluation of...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just showing a couple things that are happening.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
With you, I can't speak for the rest of the board, but just me personally, I'm having a hard time getting the value down that low, 800,000.
I expected that. I know it's a big jump. It really is.
It's a huge jump.
That, you know, that's what it's sold for. That's what I think it's worth. It's sold with the buyer thought the FF&E was worth almost nothing, which is reflected in the value.
And how long was it on the market, Jerry, before?
It had been on the market for a couple of years. And then
what price did you know?
They had a price, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was way higher than what it eventually sold for. And, you know, if this guy were the only guy that attended the auction and he was the only one that bid on it, I would agree with you. But the fact is, I talked to several of the Combses, the Myers, others that attended that auction, and they said we shied away from it just because of the cost of renovation and the cost of ownership.
Well, and the taxes.
Well, that's the cost of ownership. Yeah. The taxes.
Right.
They said we can't justify $80,000 a year to have a property that we don't think we can make money with.
Oh, I agree with that. That it is appraised too high.
If they took,
help me out here, Chuck. I mean, what are you thinking, Matt? You've heard my thoughts.
I don't have anything. I mean, the bases are pretty well covered, I think.
If you took half your comparable cost of, I heard you mention $6,300 a room next door, which is a working, I guess I assumed a working motel with a revenue stream. If you took half of that, it'd be around 1.3 million.
Well, now remember that value at 6,300 a room also includes all of the furnishings that were worth almost nothing at the days, as well as the going concern of that property. And I can't remember if it was operating or not.
He said the property had been foreclosed by the seller, had no income. And
right. So we can consider that it had no going concern, but it did have some. Yeah. It did have some value to the FF&E. I mean, just shortly after the guy bought it, he acquired a Motel 6 franchise, so the FF&E must have been fairly decent.
I'm getting all that you're saying there, and I'm taking that into consideration, but I do know that the restaurant, if you had two parcels there and we're doing them together, that the restaurant itself, sitting on 2.5 acres out there in that location, I'm assuming would have a decent value on it.
I would agree with you, Danny, if it were a separate parcel and surveyed off and available for sale separately. They may look at it like an albatross when it's connected with the other.
The problem with the restaurant is that the breakfast room is literally the size of this room to service 423 rooms. We normally see a breakfast room this size on a 100-unit motel. It's So it's literally a quarter of the size. So without the restaurant, they can't serve breakfast. And that's how they were doing it. They had leased it out to the Mexican restaurant, the previous owner.
El Anita's.
And they were serving lunch and dinner, but the motel was serving breakfast in that room. And even that's not a very good alternative. According to the property owner, the guests didn't really like that very much. So,
real quick, on your the FF&E on that, on the green, what is it? Sorry. Mountain Music Inn. You've got the FF&E is estimated value at $70,000. So that takes that $886,000 down to $816,000. You divide that by the 140 rooms, you get roughly $5,800. And if you still say that the rooms aren't adequate, let's say they're worth $4,000 a room. So 4 times the 450 or 423.
That's over 2 million. Or is it?
1.692, which you're back up to that 1,755, I mean, the appraised value beforehand. So I'd be more inclined to that value using the comp next to it that sold. It was also closed down. I understand, you know, but then you got FF&E valued at $70,000. Took that out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that a common sense approach? Or I'm not an appraiser, so I'm not.
It's common sense. It's a better property. It has one building that has an indoor pool and interior corridors that will make the property command a higher rate.
I took it from $5,800 down to about $4,000 though. So there's
1,800
rooms.
And then you have to consider the condition. I mean, to bring them up to the same condition, you'd probably be looking at a few thousand dollars a room, at least. I mean, to take it from 1990s to current status, we typically find numbers between 5,000 and 6,000 a room, some as high as 10,000 or 15,000 a room. So the condition difference is also an issue. And those are adjustments that you see in my grid.
So I cut them, Brandon and I cut them in half and come with 1.3.
That's another common sense approach, is to meet the sale price and the other appraisal halfway. I still think that the sale price is the best indication, the strongest.
Right. I don't doubt that. We have 11 acres.
11.61. 11.3.
Laying in a...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're...
I'm back on the... Okay, 3.9. 11.39.
But anyway, you see what... I'm splitting in half what we would ordinarily... I'm using their comps and splitting it in half. He was using 63. Something on the Mountain Music Inn. And I'm cutting that in half times the rooms and eliminating the restaurant and doing exactly what you say in your appraisal as more or less an obsolescence factor in the restaurant, which is unsuitable for its purpose. So I'm going to make a recommendation.
Just a second. Jeff, do you have another comment?
Well, I'm right there with you. And like I said, I'm having a little bit of trouble with this. And Chuck, you're not going to add anything into this, or?
I'm having the same thoughts that you're having. I mean, it's a, as somebody else said, it's a huge drop in value. It's hard to argue with the sale.
Sir, are you making any recommendations? I don't.
Just from what you've said, I wouldn't go down to the sale price, I don't think, although it's probably justified, but
I think looking at the two appraisals together, probably, I know you don't like it, but I'd be more at 1.5 is where I'm at.
if you divide, I was just doing the math. If you divide the two, you're at 1.2. If you add the two sales together, divide by two, you're at 1.26.
You didn't put that in the form of a motion, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'm going to put in the form of a motion my 1.3. And that's splitting the two appraisals, the sale price and the sale price and the bank appraisal, and looking at the other cost factors in the refurbishing of the rooms.
I want to ask you a question. 1.3 is not quite half of 3.5. So I'm not sure what you're splitting in half.
I'm splitting his comp in half.
Yeah, the comp, the bank appraisal was 1.7. The sale price was 8.25. And so I added those two up and divided by two, and it was 1.26.
Yeah, but that's what I was doing, Ron, except I was using your comp price on your Mountain Music Inn.
Oh, okay.
And the others that you said was 6,300. And so that's the way I come up with that figure. So
you made the motion. Is that a motion?
I made a motion.
At 1.3?
Yeah. I think that's low, but
watch, Jerry. Now, is that on the first parcel?
I was going to ask, how do you want to divide that up?
We had this conversation this morning.
And my reply to him this morning was, that's your problem. How do you divide it?
You know, I have seen counties, you know, Jackson County, St. Louis County, put a little hook on their appraisal map and attribute all the value to one parcel when you have a section line split. You could go off a percentage of the real estate. You know, you could divide the 2.65 acres into the 11.39 and come up with a percentage to apply.
I think the wise thing to do is combine the parcel numbers. Even though it crosses the property line, or the section line.
Combine them with the cost is what you're saying.
Yeah,
for
just
that
combine the appraisal value. Combine the two property, the parcel IDs to make a new parcel. And then assign it one value. Otherwise, they really can't ever have independent values. I mean, because there's no way you could operate the southern half because the guest, the breakfast room and the lobby and all that and the swimming pool is on the northern half. So that makes those functionally obsolete. The only way they can be valued is as a single parcel.
Chuck, is there any way to put one of those little map hooks on there to illustrate that another parcel is connected? I've seen those on some maps before.
Not aware of it. Maybe
okay.
Check in.
Okay.
But we can't combine. Didn't I hear you say we got a section?
Well, right. You can't combine the parcels, but you can combine the value and attribute it to one of the parcels. That's kind of like. Was that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't do that with one number. I don't think, right?
Yeah. You can't change the number.
You're the expert.
I don't think we can do that.
I worked for the tax commission for 11 years, and I know they would never let us cross a section line. But I have seen, you know, in the ratio studies and stuff, I have seen them attribute all the value to one parcel and then just carry the land on the other.
Didn't get a second on it.
So,
make a second. I have that motion die for a lack of a second. Is there another motion?
I'd make a motion at 1.5 to set BOE number 105 at 1,000,000. Or 900,000, sorry, and 106 at 600,000.
I'll second the motion if you're going to split them like that.
Motion is made and seconded to establish the values of BOE numbers 2014-105 at 900,000, 2014-106 at 600,000. Discussion. favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Your Honor, I'm going to need about 2 or 3 minutes of recess.
Let's stand in recess for a couple of minutes.
Thank you.